This is a re-recording of a sermon titled "The Men Jesus Needs in His Church," preached on June 13th, 2021 at the Springs Church of Christ. Every Sunday morning we have a wonderful blessing that we get to come together and worship and glorify our Father. Today is Father's Day, and we get to take this day to honor our earthly fathers. And we need to understand how important and vital the roles of fathers and mothers are in Christian homes. It's good that we have a day set aside to honor our fathers and our mothers, although, as I've said before, one day simply isn't adequate to honor our parents, especially those who are teaching us and leading us towards the Lord and eternity. However, to me, Father's Day is not just a day of celebration. To me, it's a day of reflection. It's a day where I ask myself, how am I being or not being the man who God wants me to be? The father God wants me to be? The husband that God wants me to be? Am I being the member of this community as God wants me to be? Or, as we're going to discuss this morning, a member of this congregation, a man of this congregation, the way that the Lord wants me to be? The Lord's church is always in need of good men. So I want us to look at the kind of men that Jesus needs in his church. The first kind of man that Christ needs in his church are men who are righteous in God's sight. When most of us were growing up, no doubt we sang the song, "Jesus Loves the Little Children." Now, whether you are red, yellow, black, or white, we sang that you're precious in his sight. And while we might still be precious in his sight, as we grow up, we understand that God desires us to be righteous in his sight. We need to be righteous like Noah was righteous. In Genesis chapter 7, the Lord tells Noah to get his family and himself on the ark. He also gave him specific instructions on about how many and what kind of animals he was to bring onto the ark. You know, at this point, many men of the past and of the present and no doubt in the future would have started making excuses for why they can't do the job that God asked them to do. Or they start making changes to God's command because they think that their way is better than God's way. However, that's not what we see Noah doing. There in verse 5, we see that Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we see the results of Noah's righteousness, his obedience to God. And at this point, even though God is casting the sinning angels into hell, verse 5 tells us that God preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. God blessed Noah because he was righteous. And God is going to bless all those today who are righteous. Although it should go without saying, if we're going to call ourselves righteous men, we've got to do righteous things. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, John says, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." It's sad that some call themselves righteous, but as he says here, they're just deceiving everyone else, and maybe even deceiving themselves. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus describes two different groups of people. There's one group that shows righteousness to others, and then there was another group who was unrighteous and did not show righteousness to others. In verse 46, as Jesus sums up all of these things, the end result of these lifestyles, Jesus says, "These," that is the unrighteous, "will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Lord needs righteous men in his church today. And as a reward, he will give us salvation and eternal life. Let's be those kind of men who are righteous in the Lord's church. The Lord also needs men who are leaders of their households. You may be thinking, I thought we were talking about men needed in the church. Why are you talking about men leading in their homes? And I would suggest to you that the present condition of the church, as well as the future of the church, is a result of what happens in the home. We can see this with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, we remember the three men of the Lord came to to Abraham. And before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, they told Abraham and Sarah that you're going to have a child. But notice what the Lord said about them becoming parents. Beginning of verse 17, it says, "The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." The Lord blessed Abraham with children, as it says there, so that he would lead his household to God. That was his responsibility. And the Lord needs men in his church who's going to do just that. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul specifically addresses the fathers and their need to step up and be leaders in their homes. In verse 4, he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This passage here, this phrase "of the Lord," is such a vital part of the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, as the Lord wants them to be done, in a way that is pleasing to the Lord." And here in verse 4, he says, "Fathers, raise them up, discipline and instruction of the Lord, in a way that pleases the Lord, as the Lord wants you to do it." And so there's a great responsibility in that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we also see that leaders in the Lord's church must first be successful leaders in their own homes. Beginning verse 4, it says, "He must be," one, again talking about elders here, "one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God?" In addition to that, in verse 12, he addresses the deacons, and he says, "Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, and give good managers of their children and their own households." Man, if we aren't spiritual leaders in our homes, we can't be leaders in the Lord's church. The Lord also needs men who are unwilling to compromise on the truth in his church. Moses was uncompromising when it came to sacrificing to God. Over in Exodus chapter 10, we see that God has sent seven of the 10 plagues on Egypt. And Pharaoh is finally to the point where he wants to make a deal. In verse 8, we read, "So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, 'Go, serve the Lord your God.' Who are the ones that are going?" Moses said, "We shall go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." Then he said to them, "Thus may the Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire." So they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Pharaoh was willing to let the children of Israel go, but only on his terms. And this wasn't acceptable to God nor to Moses, and so God sent the 8th and the 9th plagues. After the 9th plague was sent, Pharaoh was again willing to send the children of Israel away, but he still wouldn't let them take their flocks and their herds. But again, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, 'Go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you.' But Moses said, 'You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore, our livestock too shall go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord.'" Pharaoh wanted to send the Israelites away at this point. He was so tired of the plagues and all the things that were going on in Egypt. But he wanted to send them away without any animals to sacrifice to God. But what did Moses say? He said, "No, that is unacceptable. We will take our animals so that we can sacrifice them to God." He was not willing to compromise God's will. And until Pharaoh yielded completely, they were at a stalemate. Jesus needs men in his church today who are just as unwilling to compromise on his truth. We can't afford to compromise with error. In Galatians chapter 2, false teachers were trying to sneak in and damage the Lord's church. But thankfully, there were Christians who were unwilling to yield to error, and they weren't willing to compromise that truth. Beginning in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 2, it says, "But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." You know, their firm stance for the truth not only helped them to be who God wanted them to be, but it also kept others from falling victim to false doctrine as well. We've got to understand that the church needs strong people to stand up, because there are some who are not strong yet. New converts, our young people. If we're not going to stand up against the false teaching, then they're going to fall victim to that. The Lord needs men in His church who are unwilling to compromise His truth. But men, are you that man? The Lord also needs men in His church who've made up their minds that they're going to serve God in Him only. Joshua was a man who made this choice for himself and his family. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua tells the children of Israel, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, I don't think that we could ever underestimate the weight of Joshua's statement here. Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. Joshua made it very clear what his choice was. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made that choice for himself, and he made that choice for his household. He was going to lead them in the way that they needed to go. Men, have you made this same choice to serve the Lord for yourselves? What about for your family? Are you guiding your family to serve God too? Well, the church needs men like this today. Jesus doesn't need wishy-washy men in His church. He needs confident men. Men who have chosen and are determined to serve Him. Are you that man? But finally, Jesus also needs men in His church who are powerful, bold, and mighty in the Scriptures. If you've got your Bibles, in Acts chapter 18, we find that Apollos is a man who was described this way. Beginning in verse 24 of Acts 18, it says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Spirit that Jesus was the Christ." You know, although Apollos needed to be taught more accurately, which I would suggest describes all of us, we all have some kind of Bible knowledge, but we all need to be learning more, ever learning in the knowledge of the truth. Maybe we need to be taught a little more accurately at times than what we know. But although he needed to be taught more accurately, Apollos is also said to be mighty in the Scriptures. He was fervent in the Spirit. He's said to be one who spoke out boldly, one who wanted to go and teach others. Not was forced to go, but he wanted to go teach the gospel. And he was also said to be one who powerfully refuted the Jews. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that there are too many men today who don't know the Scriptures as they should. The only way that we can become spiritually strong is by searching the Scriptures to find the truth. In John chapter 5, we see that the Jews were searching the Scriptures, but Jesus is rebuking them because even though they were searching the Scriptures, they weren't searching to be obedient to God. They didn't search it to find out how they can correct themselves and serve Him better. They searched for it in order to justify themselves. Beginning of verse 39, Jesus tells them, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. You know, Jesus doesn't need men in his church who don't care enough about him to become bold and powerful and mighty in the scriptures. He needs men like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, where in verse 11 we're told, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily." Why? To see whether these things were so. They were trying to find out the truth. They wanted to find out what was right and what was wrong so that they could change themselves to it, to be better people for the Lord. That's the kind of people that the Lord needs in his church. The Lord and his church need men to step up and be men. Men, are you one of those people who is doing what the Lord needs in his church? You know, you may have noticed as we went through this lesson that many of these same traits are needed by women as well. No, women are not to be the heads of their household and not to lead their household as a man would. But there are many things that women can do that we talked about this morning. The Lord also needs righteous women. He needs women who are unwilling to compromise on the truth. Women who have made the choice to serve only God. Women who are powerful and bold and mighty in the scriptures. Be that woman. But this morning, we're not talking about women. We're talking about the kind of men that Jesus needs in his church. If you're a wife, what your husband needs most from you is your prayers and your encouragement to be the man that God wants him to be. Pray for your husband. Encourage him. And I pretty much guarantee you that it's going to do more for them than you likely realize. But men, step up and be the man that Christ needs you to be in his church.